Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Nikki preps to visit Deacon on Y&R, Brooke, Ridge, and Taylor are front and center on B&B, Who is the Ice Hook Stalker on GH, and Days makes the jumps to Peacock. Stay tuned. Joshua Baldwin, welcome.
What?
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
I'm here. I'm present. I'm alive.
Carly Silver, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Well, the big news of the week from a logistics standpoint is Days of Our Lives made the jump to Peacock. Josh, I know you already had the app. Did you unsubscribe and resubscribe as you teased on a previous podcast?
I actually didn't do that, but I'd already watched Peacock. I watched Days on Peacock anyway. And the only difference for me is that the joy that it comes out at 6 a.m. as opposed to 8 p.m. So I like the fact that I could watch it when I was getting ready for work, or if I on the train on the way to work or whatever. It kind of felt like a wonderful luxury to be able to watch it that early and watch it whenever I wanted to, not just after 8 o'clock. So, and other than that, and it's saying Peacock original, ding ding, at the beginning. I it's a seamless transition for me.
Jillian, how about you?
There's no seamless transition for me. I already have Peacock. I still have cable. So what did my little self do? When Friday there was a cliffhanger, Monday I went to Peacock. It wasn't like I unboxed a new shoe or nothing. So it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't like that for me. The, like Josh said, the luxury I have is I can watch it on at lunch or on my way to work. I preferably like to do it right before my lunch. I have like a little gap between lunch and work, the luxuries of my job. So I'm like, let me watch me some Dance Child and see what's going on.
Carly, how about for you?
I have cable like Jillian, but it was pretty easy to get the app installed on my Fire TV and picked up right where I left off on Friday.
I have cable as well, but for me, with Cox, you can integrate your Peacock app with the actual Cox box. And once you've logged into it, basically all you have to do is say Days of Our Lives into the voice thing. It opens up the app. You can select it. The only real significant difference for me is the fact that I can't fast forward through commercials.
But thank God you have a Cox box.
Cox boxes are important.
I learned from
SNL,
I wouldn't have edited romance novels without them.
Right?
No, you just want to be. Just let us know you got George Jetson in your building. Whatever. Let's go.
Carly, you haven't been on the podcast a while. What are you thinking of the return of Stefan to Salem and how that has sort of unsettled a whole bunch of people?
I'm really happy that the character of Stefan is back, but at the same time, I feel like the nature of his return, which is the manipulation of his feelings for Chloe, the return from the dead, is a bit hokey, and it doesn't capture me. It was, you know, years ago when Gabby and Stefan first got together, it was because Gabby was, she was spying on Stefan and then reluctantly fell in love with him. That type of organic chemistry and very natural unfolding of a storyline doesn't seem to be happening. That, you know, it seems very inorganic. Now, what is organic for me is Gabby being torn between her feelings for Lee and for Stefan. And that I find really interesting. And I think, I know I look forward to it playing out. What I'm wondering is long-term where, you know, once presumably if Gabby and Stefan eventually reunite, what is the end goal for them? You know, I don't know.
There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that for me. I'm sort of struggling with Days at the moment. Josh, what did you think of Stefan?
Well, first and foremost, I'm just happy Brandon Barash is still on my
screen. Amen. Amen to that.
It was an error. I agree with Carly. It was an error when they killed him off before. I think it was very unfortunate that they had killed him off in story before he ever started airing for the audience. And so when the chemistry happened, it was just fire with between Barash and Bannis. They had already done this, and so they had to sort of figure out what to do, and they brought in Jake. And so I'm fine with Stefan being back. I like Jake, to be honest with you. But I'm
really
I'm fine with,
okay.
I liked Jake. I liked that he was an everyday guy. I thought Jake and Ava had promise. I liked that Jake was kind of like the regular Joe, so to speak, of the Damara family. I could have played for all kinds of things, but I'm happy with Stefan being back too. The sci-fi stuff I kind of accepted a long time ago, that Days is half sci-fi. And what I do like, I mean, I'm not thrilled with all of it, but what I do like about it is that it's yet again an umbrella that Gabby is torn between Lee and Stefan, but Lee is also responsible for what's happening to Stefan, and the Shin family has been funding Dr. Rolf for a while. And then Kristen, and then the side then stretches into Chloe and Brady. And so it's a nice little umbrella story.
You make a good point.
And then with the side of Ava, quite frankly, Gabby's chemistry with EJ is better to me than either Lee or Stefan.
Really?
I agree.
Huh.
I think that they have fire chemistry.
You know, it was interesting. I was thinking the other day, missing One Life to Live for some reason. I can't remember why. And I was thinking, remember when Camilla Bannis was first on One Life to Live? I think she was as Lola. How is it? She's come so far as an actress.
And why are we bringing Lola up?
I was just thinking because
I thought about that this last week too, because of something. Well, no, I thought about that this week. I thought about that this week too, when something happened on Twitter, and I was like, well,
there okay, some, not even in the same breath, Luke.
No, but there are some people who have had giant leaps.
Stop. Luke, like, that would have to be a leap from here to Jesus.
Stop. Let me chime in on my day's thoughts, child. Okay. I am with Carly with the sentiment of, you know, well, this is my sentiment. I'm with you with that, Carly. I'm like, enough. I'm sorry. I'm not going to take, well, it's Days. That's like us saying, oh, well, it's Brad. Oh, well, it's YNR. Oh, well, it's G. No. We need to hold them accountable. Look, I rocks with Days. I think Ron is a great writer. I just wish Ron would cut it, like, just ease up with the returns from the dead and the mind control. It's like that's all in his back pocket. It's like a like when all fails, you look in my back pocket. I haven't done a mind control for this one, or I haven't done a return to death. Enough. Like, stop. With the brain manipulation, enough. Why can't we just have a good old-fashioned love triangle? Stefan, you know, you bring Stefan back. Fine. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. You put a little pin on bringing them all back. You like wait at least a year or so or something like that to bring someone back, or just limited period. Just bring them back, whatever. That person was kidnapped and everybody thought they were dead. I don't care. But Stefan's back and he wants to see Gabby, but he is in love with, you know, he sees that Gabby has moved on with Shin and he don't want to break that up. Or he finds out what Shin is doing and somehow Shin is like, I will kill. Shin makes him think, or Shin's father makes him believe, we will kill Gabby dead if you open your mouth. And you know, or something, and he can't, and he has to push Gabby away or something, or he sees that Gabby is happy and decides he is like tries to move on. He doesn't want to hurt her, and he, you know, he has mindless sex with Chloe, and then something starts up. This mind manipulation is just like,
I think that's much more organic, Jillian. I like those ideas.
I want to organic greenhouse, hot house. I'm just over it with the, like, enough, Ronald. Enough, please.
For me, what I'm struggling with Days is, and I'm gonna
Sammy not be a nail.
No, it doesn't have to do with her actually. I'm going to preface this by saying a couple things. First of all, I've always thought that Ron is a talented writer. Second of all, I am the person on the podcast who tends to become disenchanted first with when something's going on with his writing. And third, who knows how much involvement Corday has in storylines. But that having been said, this past week with Days of Our Lives, when I was watching it, I have been struggling. And part of the struggle that I'm having with Days of Our Lives is the fact that when I compare it to Ron's run on One Life to Live, I feel like Ron had a vision, not just for Umbrella storylines, but for character development and plot. You saw which characters were being groomed to be the next generation of Vicky and Dorian and all the other characters. Ron had a vision at One Life to Live. You could agree with it or you could disagree with it. At Days of Our Lives, I do not feel that he has a vision for this show. I feel that he writes umbrella plot lines that last 3 to 6 months, and in between, he's sort of making it up as he goes along. There is a lack of character development with EJ. EJ should not be this impotent businessman. He should be the next Stefano DiMera. There is no next Victor Kiriakis. The archetypes of the young adults... We have Gwen, which is obviously one of his favorites, but amongst the other characters, there are no real good archetypes. Like, the twins are just sort of there, and the Alex is back, and that will be good. We'll see how this goes for 6 months, and we'll see what happens with him. But if you think about even like Ben and Sierra, when Ben and Sierra were still on, what was the vision for them as a couple? They just went from one crisis to one crisis. There wasn't actually a vision for those characters as a long-term arc. And I am feeling, for me, on Days of Our Lives, that when it comes to a ton of these storylines, it's like, we can bring back Orpheus X number of times in a year, and we can have Marlena and Kate inserts third woman held in a cellar or a room, and we can have a mystery medical ailment, whether it's happening to Abby or now it's happening to the three of the other women. We have a mystery element. And it's like, I feel like what I respected with Ron at One Life to Live, with the vision and how he incorporated that vision and told that vision amongst his umbrella storylines, the vision is lacking at Days. We get umbrella storylines, but we don't have a vision for where these characters are supposed to end up or how they're supposed to evolve, even incrementally. And so what I'm finding for me is that the character depth in these characters is becoming shallower and shallower, and I'm less interested in investing in the characters because they're all starting to blur. They're becoming very shallow. There's no vision.
Hey, Mariah Carey. I agree with you with Luke on some of those things. I do agree with you that, because I know it, you know, if Ron's listed, he gonna be like, this bitch will let it go. I'm not going to let this go. When you mentioned the twins, brought Allie back as a teen, she is supposed to be Sammy. He said she's Sammy.
She's not
nothing like Sammy. I don't even know.
And Johnny has become a lame Lucas. And sometimes Lucas can be pretty lame. Johnny has become a lame Lucas who basically his most acting is done with. The most of his acting has been done with his biceps when he was held up by the devil. Like, the storylines that Johnny has been given, they lack direction. They like, if you were, EJ should be the next Stefano and Johnny should be the next EJ, and this stuff should progress, and it's not.
Johnny is 21 years old. Give him a minute.
When EJ was introduced,
Race car driver.
Right. But when he was introduced, we immediately started to see not everything all at once, but we started to see his evolution into the EJ he became. But he should have continued that evolution into the next Stefano. Him worrying about stocks and shares as a supposed like bad boy villain on the show, and then being beat at every corner by anybody who can get their hands on stock. Kristen is more of a bad boy than EJ is dealing with this stupid.
Hold on. We don't need EJ to be the next one. Why can't I'm gonna break with you there. Kristen clearly is the next Stefano, and I have no problem with that. It doesn't have to be a man.
I'm not saying it has to be EJ. What I am experiencing for me personally with Kristen is that Kristen is because of everything that has happened with her being on the run and then her coming back, Kristen is losing any mooring of reality in that character. And I realize that, like, she's always been a bit of a loose cannon. That's just part of who she is. But anything that has tethered her to reality is for me almost completely gone, and she's just become a caricature.
Can I chime in on that quickly?
Okay.
I think that I sort of agree with the Kristen of it all, but I think I actually kind of like the direction she's going in because it's a bit more extreme. But I think right now, she, to your point about archetypes, Luke, she's the only clear-cut villain on the show. And even then, we like, she's not a big bad. She's, you understand her motives because she's wants her family, and also she's Kristen, so she's a bit out there. But I think that their characters are sort of like everybody's too milk toast. Unless they're Kristen.
They're all starting to blur together. And I think that that is because Ron does not have, he has vision for 6, 3, 9 month umbrella storylines, but he hasn't, I feel like he doesn't have vision for individual characters unless maybe it's Gwen.
I think, in my opinion, this is me, the hostage piece. I feel as though I look at the canvas. No, EJ, you know, we all have been saying he should be, but I'm looking at it and I'm like, it's not EJ. It's clearly it's Kristen is the next Stefano. If you go back to history on some of the things Stefano did, I'm like, she ain't no better than her. Like, I'm like, she is just like her play father, Stefano, with the shenanigans and the antics that she did and the reasonings why. So I'm like, we see who it is, but she hasn't put that, like, as of right now, Kristen hasn't put that fear that Stefano has put in people. Like when Marlena used to hear it was Stefano, she'd be like, oh God. And she would, and again, nobody scream like Deidre Hall, child. She would scream and she would be fearful. And John would be like, I'm getting security on you, doc. Don't even worry about it. When you hear it's Kristen, you're just like, oh shit, what this girl want? Like, you're annoyed. You know, you're not like fearful. She just annoys you.
I'm terrified, I have to say. I think Kristen.
Body is shadowed. You ain't scared of Kristen.
I mean, I'm terrified of New York City rats and Kristen. I think that's two things that scare the big left out of me.
Rats, I'm mad at you. Them some big bitches now.
Josh, what are you thinking of Bill? I'm not Bill. What are you thinking of Brooke, Ridge, and Taylor on The Bold and the Beautiful?
I think Brooke and Taylor need to be fighting over some other man. That all it's making them look is stupid.
Or they just need to fight and say, I was the first one to kick Ridge to the curb.
Seriously. I think that if they're going to go this direction, it's not a viable triangle because Catherine, I mean, it is, but for me, with Torsten in the role, Catherine Kelly Lang and Torsten K don't have chemistry, but he has mad chemistry with Krista Allen. And I was reminded this last week of just how much chemistry Catherine Kelly Lang has with Don Diamont. Man, put them in a room together and it just drips off of them. Please stop this triangle. It is no better than Liam, Hope, and Steffi. I don't care. I roll my eyes when they're on screen. And Steffi and Thomas are acting like 35, 40 year old babies.
Yes.
I got nothing for it. I just like the entire show now. There's zero on it that I'm enjoying. It's gone for me from like, I really wanted to watch it to see what was going to go on with Sheila. And then this is the same show that had the guts to have Sheila plug Steffi in an alley. That was good. This is bad. Deacon's still living in a storage closet. This is just dumb. I just don't get it.
Remember when Deacon and Taylor had that hot minute of chemistry?
Oh, it was so good.
I was so here for that.
See, they haven't even been in a scene together since then.
Like, I guess Brad is looking at the ratings. The ratings still hold true.
Oh, yeah.
Taylor, Ridge, and Brooke, when you have a little Logan enforced a conflict. But it could be so much more than this. I just wish... The fact that they have Brooke looking so stupid, just fighting over this man and Taylor as well. I just wish they fought. Like, I wish they would look at their daughters and they would see themselves and be like, I don't want my child to go through that. So, you know, I should have set a better example, or this is what I portrayed to my kid. Like, I would just wish one of these ladies, it would be so badass if both at the same time when Ridge is like, I have a decision to make, and they say, okay, but before you make your decision, and they say it at the same time, like they're done with Ridge, like she, or they say she can have you, and he's like, er? And they just be like, you know, I want off this merry-go-round. As much as we're to blame, you are to blame too. You a 50-something-year-old, 60-something-year-old man, and you don't know who you want, when you want, no. And I wish Taylor would just set some boundaries for her kids and say, enough. You have kids of your own. Focus on your family and stay out of grown people business. Oof. No, they ain't gonna say that part. And I mean, Bill and Brooke have chemistry, but I feel like, you know, I am the lone Bill and Katie fan. At this point, it's somebody sent me something, so I'm gonna blog it. I am gonna blog it. Like, Heather Thomas broken down where she's been. It sounds like she's been doing a lot of directing, as we know, and she comes and goes as she pleases. Then if that is the case, if she's doing that, then Brad needs to just say, okay, Heather, I need you for at least 2 months so we can have Bill and Katie just end this shit. And we get, you know, Katie just says, you know what, Bill, I'm over it. I you could be with my sister. You could sniff her panty drawers all you like. I promise I won't get mad. And just gift her to him and do something with Don Diamond. Well,
recast her.
Using Jillian's suggestion of having her for 2 months, basically give her the Allison Sweeney package where she comes in for 2 months, does a blockbuster storyline, and is gone for 8 months. Right.
I would love that. I just wish that her blockbuster story, if she were to get a blockbuster storyline, I would hope it would be more than just Bill. You know, no, I would
have liked for her, and you know, you had the man win an Emmy for you. I guess Brad showing his petty, because he did say when he gave best writing to Ron, the man who wrote some good stuff for me. So I guess Brad was like, oh, bitch, please. Like, at least bring back, what's his name? Oh, shit. Ted King.
So,
like, him and Lee can just, what is her name? Sorry, I'm thinking about
that. Naomi Matsuda?
No, what's her character?
Lee.
Lee.
Yeah, I was right, Lee. Have him and Lee have their thing and cut it, you know? And him and Katie sniff around each other for a while, and they just say, you know, as they're leaving town, let's see where this takes us. And you hear Katie is insert new city, new state, or insert foreign land, the end for them. Like,
you know, could have been interesting. Sean Cannon did an interview recently where he said if you could like pair Deacon with any other character, he said would have said I would have paired Deacon with Katie. She could stand to loosen up a bit. Now I know that you'd have to have Heather Tom on screen for a longer time to do a romance, but I mean that would be great. Or but I sort of think that that's what Taylor and Deacon could have been. And you know, in that way,
they were so fun.
Well,
Bill
speaking
did
of
that for Katie, so you canceled yourself out there, sir.
Speaking of Deacon, Carly, what do you think of Nikki's preparation on the Young and the Restless to go face Deacon?
Oh, I miss my Dickie. They were so great together all those years ago.
Is that found in a Cox box?
I think that's
yes, a Dickie in a Cox box.
Okay.
Cox box. Is this one? See, I can't.
I know. We're shameless.
Boy,
but
Luke and girl, look, are together again, and I don't like it. You're grossing me out because I'm a visual person. I don't like it.
So I'm looking forward to it. I think we've all sort of wondered, you know, when, since Deacon helped Diane fake her death, when are we going to see the follow-up from that? What I hope to see is that we also get Nikki maybe running into some of the Foresters, since I guess she said she's her excuse for going to LA is getting Summer's wedding gown. But also I hope that we get some notice that Sheila's some sort of Sheila and Lauren crossover. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think that, you know,
I wish it was a situation where Lauren and like bumped into Nikki and was like, hey, I'm taking a trip to LA to visit the Foresters. And Nikki was like, oh, I was thinking about going there. And Nick and Lauren's like, want to ride with me on the jet? And they just go.
Lauren would have to be on screen for that to happen.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And rich people do that. They will share jets. So I think that that's, I would love that.
Well, Carly, I saw some pictures and it does look like Nikki bumps into Eric. She looks like she interacts with Steffi and Hope. So here you go.
I agree with you, Carly. This is a 50th anniversary crossover. The idea that Nikki would go to Los Angeles and see Deacon, who is hiding Sheila. To me, in my head, Nikki finds out that Deacon is hiding Sheila and then blackmails Deacon, saying, "I'll turn you in for Sheila, but I'll keep it a secret if you help me destroy Diane." Then when all of Genoa City finds out, everybody's going to freak out at Nikki. It's a huge story that could just explode.
Yeah, I think Nikki would do that. I seriously don't. Especially since, like, Sheila sort of was semi-connected to the Newmans, too.
So I agree with you that she wouldn't do it, but I also think they're treating Diane like she's the biggest pariah that's ever existed in Genoa City, which is stupid.
Y'all ain't gonna do that to my Nikki. No, not you. You're not gonna do it, bitch. it's like, that's the biggest storyline of this week. Nikki preparing to go to L.A. to confront Deacon. Like, I'm just like, really? Like, this should have been so much more. Like, I would like for Nikki to glimpse Sheila, and she tells people, I wish she would say, "Yo, I thought I saw Sheila." And they'd be like, "What?" And you
saying,
have
I
Lauren
saw some
have
feet.
A conversation. Hold on. You have Lauren have a conversation with Eric on the phone when she reads the brakes off of him and say, "You didn't even have the audacity to tell me that cow was around," and for her to be pissed at Eric about that, you know, something to acknowledge that history, and then it kicks something else off. But thought I read somewhere that I guess they were teasing that you may see Sheila on, like, Sheila may be back on Y&R. Like, they didn't say it, but like, down the road, she may cross over to Y&R. So I don't know. But you would think, since her crossover to B&B was a big success and a blockbuster, they would try to do that again. So I don't get
And
it.
The Young and the Restless could use some oomph. Around the circle to everybody real quick, what are you guys thinking? Thumbs up, thumbs down to the Nick, Sally, Adam triangle-ish, Josh?
I'm going to give it a thumbs almost up because I think Courtney Hope and Joshua Morrow have scads of sexual chemistry. He ran that thumb across her lip and she gave that lip. I was like, mercy. And
he's looking a little silver daddy on the sides, and it's working for him.
So good.
It is.
Mark Grossman, I don't know if you all saw the very, very end of Friday's episode, but when Sally opens the door to the hotel room and Adam is there, and he goes from elation in his eyes seeing her to horror and sadness, and his eyes almost filled with tears, all of it in like 10 seconds. It was so well done, and I thought, brother versus brother is not a bad thing. It's not a bad way to go. At least it's a reason for them to not like each other or for them to go at it.
Right.
I think she works. This works as a triangle if they play it this direction.
Jillian, thumbs up, thumbs down.
It's a thumbs. It's like leaning either way. I like the fact that they busted them up, and I just kind of wish they would have built up Nick and Sally hunching more. Like, they've just started some sort of quasi relationship, in terms of work. But then, boom, you don't shag your boss. You don't shag an underling. I'm like, oh, God. That just happened a little fast. For me, I just wanted more build up. But the fact that Nick and Adam were kind of at a peaceful impasse, and Nick was cutting for him, and now, a woman has blown that up once again, I'm here for it, because it's going to be good shit.
And it's not Sharon.
Yes, it's not Sharon.
Sharon too busy pouring coffee.
Which she went to school. She went to school to be a therapist, and all she still does is pour coffee.
I don't get why she's not in this. Well, I do have an idea why, but she should be in this storyline, because they had Nick sniffing around her. It looked like they were going that way, and now they've just—I don't know.
Carly, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I like it. I agree with Jillian that it could have been stretched out for longer with Nick and Sally sort of like, you know, messing around for a bit and seeing if there's something more there or a little more sneaking around first. But it's cute. You know, it's a classic. You know, I'm just glad they're not arguing over Chelsea, although I don't know what they're planning on doing. They're taking that character down a whole nother road. But I think, yeah, I'm into it. It's better than some of the other stuff in the show, which is good.
I think that Nick and Sally have potential, but I'm not sure that it's because I see their chemistry. I feel like I'm more looking forward to the Adam's reaction. Adam as a villain, when he's written as a villain, is one of my favorites on The Young and the Restless. And because he goes dark, but he's also corporate, but he can also do some crazy shit. And so I'm intrigued. I think that Nick and Sally have some chemistry, but I need to see more on that front. But what I'm really looking forward to in the triangle is Adam reactions.
Well, spoiler alert. Adam figures it out, but Sally sets him straight. And she's just like, bitch, we ain't together, so I can hunt whoever I want. And, you know, Adam is just a little heartbroken about it because she goes back to Nick for seconds, child.
Second helpings. Pausing, not pausing, but positing the question, who is the Ice Hooks attacker on General Hospital? Jillian, who is your prime suspect?
Aura.
Okay.
I don't know.
Carly?
No, I'm just joking. I don't know. I need to see a little bit more. I don't know.
Okay. Carly?
I'm guessing Esme, if only because I'm sure that her business in Port Charles isn't finished, but I mean, maybe Foghorn Leghorn's accent. I don't know.
No, why would he do it? He likes it.
Not him, his accent. It's a separate accent.
Josh, who is your suspect?
The Port Charles hooker.
Hey.
So we know that Ava got attacked, and we know that the second attack was, looks like it really was meant for Jocelyn, maybe, because she came out first and then Brando kind of intercepted it. Jordan said the one connection was Sunny. So it could be anybody. GH the last couple times they've done this has sort of brought a side character to prominence only to make them the killer. So it doesn't really have that massive impact, like if it's a main character on the show. So I'm still looking side character. Like, it would be a good way to get rid of Dex if they wanted to.
There's any number of characters they could use this to get rid of people.
Oh, there's a whole
cast
of characters they could get rid of
on that show, and nobody would notice. Hooked,
I was like, all right, y'all cleaning up house. I was leaning towards Esme or Ryan. I was like, maybe Ryan broke out. I thought it's either Esme or maybe it's Ryan going after Esme's enemies.
Like, yeah, I just don't know that Esme is tall enough. Like, this killer is tall. No.
So here's my other just completely random thought about who the killer could be. I'm wondering if it's that bald guy who's somehow involved with not Franco. Because
Mason?
Again, that would be very
the reason why I say that is there's so many people at the quarter name main picnic that, and like, he could have a motive for Ava, but if he was going for Brando or if he was going for any other person in Port Charles, we could find out later in a flashback that the reason why he attacked them is because they accidentally overheard something and he doesn't know if they'll put two and two together about it. And I'm like, it could be him.
I hope
that
it's Lil
great
Charlotte.
We have to care about Mason.
Right. So one
even
thing
remember
that
his name is Mason.
One thing we do care about is Mac. We also care about Serena Baldwin, and we care about Kevin. Or not Kevin. Scotty. and we were a little bit disappointed that they were bringing Cody back after us wanting Serena and making it seem like, oh, this is like we're replacing fans' requests for Serena with Cody, but now he might be Mac's son. Jillian, do you have any feelings about this?
I think that it's a huge, it's once again Kristen, Dan and Chris, I got to smack your hands. You're doing a huge retcon on this. I don't understand these two because we've been crowing about Serena Baldwin. Yes.
Decade
and
or
instead
more.
Of Serena Baldwin, you bring some sucker that we don't give a shit about on here. I don't understand you two. It's like, look, I'm not saying they should do all things that fans want them to do, because if that's the case, the shows are be damned. And I hate that that shows are beholden to fans and fan bases. Recently, I did a podcast talking about that, like, some shows are kind of like beholden to fans and fan bases. I know damn well YNR was one of them with Kane and Lily fans. And then they finally got the cojones to be like, nope. And they survived. But in this instance, everybody has wanted Serena to come back. I don't give a fuck about this boy at all. Period. Like,
ain't nobody care about him.
No, when he called you up, or when you had revealed that Frank, you texted Frank and was like, hey, why aren't I on your show? Frank should have texted back, because I don't want you on here. That's why. Or you should have bossed up and said that. Or I don't know. Lucky is not on there. Dylan is not on there. What the child name is?
Lulu.
No. Guy, Sly Eckert. That
oh,
was
yeah.
your chance to making Sly Eckert into something.
Anybody.
This? No. Like, I wonder if the reason why they haven't recast the role of Serena is because y'all are, once again, y'all are doing something where you're hoping that insert actor comes back. I saw someone online saying, oh, well, you know, the reason why they haven't recast Lucky is because he doesn't make sense. And this and that for the canvas. I'm like, that's bullshit. They haven't recast Lucky because they're hoping Jonathan Jackson will be like, I'm here again. Like, I don't understand why these guys are, but back to this one. I don't understand why they brought him on here as Kobe Bell. I just hope that you find out that he's like lying about who he is, or he bought a lie.
Or he was lied to.
Yes. Like, that's what I meant, Joe, but he bought a lie. Like, he thought that he was Dominique's, but he really isn't. That he was just hustled. Like, I don't care about this cat, to be quite honest. He's Dante's friend. Where your Brooklyn accent at? I'm like, get out of here. I don't care for you. I don't.
Jill, or Carly?
I think he could have been any of those other characters that Jillian mentioned. I like him as an actor, but I don't think texting, you know, your former boss saying, hey, can I have a job, is enough of a reason to give somebody a job. You know, integrate him into the history of the show. There are any number of ways that could have been done. I don't care otherwise. But I think the actor is a good performer. But I think also with Kelly Tebow now wrapping her run at GH, what is going to be left for Cody? And I think that, you know, I just, there's no reason to
care. He falls in love with Brad.
Josh, chemistry there, yes. And he did. Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are I would rather talk about Carly being read for filth in Jacksonville, Florida, because I don't care about Dax. It's just I think Josh Kelly is a good actor. I think he would have been good in many other roles, and I think Mac is worthy of a story that isn't a retcon. They're talking about inorganic. I think Mac, there's a million stories. I think Dex is unnecessary, but I like Josh Kelly.
So Stella, she got her hands on those divorce papers a long time ago, and that story has finally come full circle. Jillian, what do you think now that the word is out that the papers were never filed?
Oh, God, this is just, I saw it coming. It's going to lead to a big, because they're not very subtle. He's all mad. You didn't tell me the truth. I value truth. That's why we got a divorce. Truth, 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 truth. And Portia just biting her nail. This is one thing I really wish Chris and Dan and Chris would have left alone. And that's Trina's paternity.
Yes.
Why
yes.
Did you have
they
to
shouldn't
do
have
this?
It. Speak on it.
I don't understand why, when you brought her on as Taggart's, that's a plethora of history there. And I said, you know what? That's probably why they had this in mind and we just didn't really notice it, because they never once mentioned Gia. Like, they've mentioned her a handful of times, but never once mentioned Gia. And I'm like, I wonder why. And I'm like, this is just so... And this is, to me, yes, I'm coming for asses. This is lazy storytelling. All you did was take a few elements out of Jordan's storyline with her pawning TJ off on Curtis's brother. And when he's Sean, that's all you're doing with this. This is so fucking lazy. And I'm like, this all you can do for the black folks over here? I get that vibe from them. I don't. Let me preface when I get that vibe. When I mean that, I mean, you know, you're not exploring more. I don't mean it's a Maria Arena Bell thing, because they certainly
aren't. It's not a first and 15th.
No, they ain't on first and 15th or the 15th and the 30th. They are not on like that. But I see that they have winterized them. See, I coined that.
Winterized
them, meaning.
I like winterized. That's good.
Yes. When you're winterized is when all the blacks are in a storyline together and they interact with the non-whites, I mean, the non-blacks here and there, you know, one at a time. They can't, like, right about now, Portia should be kicking it with Ava. She should talk to Ava. Ava would be one person who would not judge her by this. Ava been there before. I could see her telling Ava, you know,
Portia and Ava as best friends would make way more sense than Nina and Ava as best friends.
But wait, you know they had that
conversation.
But
you
know they had that conversation this week.
Let it go.
In the hospital room.
They had a conversation. I wanted more. Like,
oh, yeah, I agree.
I wanted her to be Ava's doctor so it can be locked into patient, doctor-patient confidentiality. And she just unburdens her and tells her. And Ava be like, girl, what? You know, and Ava, you know, I was cheating on Taggart when I was married. And she'd be like, been there, done that, honey. You know, Ava has history doing stuff, something like this, too. It would make so much sense.
And they both love Trina.
Exactly. And for Ava to be like, girl, you need to find out before you crush this child's life, you know, and for something. But I just don't like, if you're going to go there, like, have... I just wish it was some sort of something else. I'm just not feeling the storyline. But if you're hell bent on fucking doing this, have somebody who's been in that position before instead of her just being closet. Because I'd be damned if she go confiding on Stella's judgmental, messing with people's papers ass. And that's one thing that annoyed me. Look, black person on the podcast here. And y'all have two black people in your writer's room. Woohoo! A whole two. That's more than others. But here's my thing. I get that Jordan is trying to be respectful, but let's be real. A black person would have went off on Stella. And like, she would have been like, why are you in my business, Stella? And for Stella, you know... The fucking soliloquy that Stella said, I'm like, okay, I get that you're showing that Stella's an educated woman or whatever. I'm like, I'm cool with that. But let's just be real here. Jordan would have gone plumb off and say, Stella, why are you all up in my business? And she'd be like, I'm sorry, girl. I just wanted you with my baby. You know, this, you know, my actions. I was like, what the fuck? Like, girl. When you with company, you do that. When you with kinfolk, you just be like, my bad, girl. I just wanted you and Curtis to be together. And it was just, oh, God. I get you respect her elders.
I would also love for Jordan to be doing something more than just maybe
investigate.
Yeah. Or just, I mean, seeing her engage with more characters. You know, seeing her, she's investigating and then she's maybe still got a torch, carrying a torch for Curtis, but. Have her involved in more storylines.
We know she still does. You know what? I would love this. I would just thought about this. I would love for Portia to think that she's Curtis's and you find out, let's say Jordan does some investigation and she tries to blow Portia out of the water because she wants her family back. She wants her man. And then you find out Trina's not even fucking Curtis's. Trina's
that would be
actually
great.
Taggart's. And for Portia to be like, phew, but for Portia to flip the script and be like, you meddlesome bitch. Something. I just don't want them going down this road. Like
I could also
boys would just like
sorry.
Never mind.
I could also live without Curtis talking to Jordan the way that he is.
Yes.
I didn't like that at all.
Curtis has never been a well written character. Final thoughts, brief final thoughts, Josh.
My final thought is thank you to whomever at the Young and the Restless is responsible for finally making Nate messy. Friday's episode of The Young and the Restless, he walked up into Victoria's office and said, I will turn on my family and help you at Newman buy up Chancellor Winters if you put me in charge of it. He rolled out secrets and I thought, mess. We finally have mess.
I want that, and I want the old Devon, too. That's my final thought. I want the old Devon. When I say the old Devon, I mean the Devon that sent Lily's ass to prison.
Yes!
When he does that, I want him to be like, I want your ass busted for insider trading and Victoria, too. And for Victor to step in and say, you cut that Winters, cut that deal loose, Victoria, because we ain't getting in their business. Like, yes, I want that.
Carly, final thought?
I would love to see that. I'm looking forward to the YNR B&B crossover. I always enjoy those. And I'm hoping that we get a couple moments where, like, you know, where Bill and Nikki are sort of like, have I met you before? Or something like that. That'd be fun.
My final thought is in reaction to a tweet that I got texted by six different people. It was a screen cap. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens if anything comes of that tweet. And I'm not going to address it because we'll let you could do your research on Twitter. But yeah, on a personal note, I want to give listeners an update. So on my side, on my great grandmother has gone down in health significantly in the past year. And so I just wanted to give a programming note because this fall, depending on how things go with her health, you may be getting more top fives than regular episodes just because they're a little bit easier to record on a weekly basis and have them ready to go than a regular episode. There just may be a few more top fives this fall than regular episodes, but we will try and get normal recap discussion casting episodes as often as possible. It's just that you might see more top fives. On that note, I'd encourage you to comment on this episode at DaytimeConfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. You can find a link to each of our socials in the post on DaytimeConfidential.com for this episode. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye, everyone.